What if the greatest obstacle to solving climate change isn't denial, but hysteria? While activists chain themselves to buildings and politicians declare climate emergencies, we're spending trillions on policies that barely move the needle. Meanwhile, tuberculosis kills 1.6 million people annually, a problem we could solve for $6 billion a year. The math doesn't add up, and neither does the panic. Climate change is real, but the apocalyptic narrative drowning out rational discussion may be causing more harm than the warming itself. Turn on the news and you'll encounter a familiar script: melting ice caps, drowning polar bears, cities underwater by 2050. Media outlets profit from clicks. Environmental organizations secure donations through catastrophe. Researchers studying existential threats win grants. Politicians gain power, promising salvation. Together, they've built what might be called a climate fear economy, one that systematically amplifies worst-case scenarios while ignoring nuance, progress, and scientific uncertainty. Climate change has become so polarized that Americans are more divided on it than on guns or abortion, making rational discussion nearly impossible. Consider Tuvalu, featured on Time's cover with officials standing in water, warning it would be wiped off the map. Yet nature research reveals Tuvalu's land area has actually grown 2.9% over four decades through natural sediment accumulation. Or polar bears. When conservationists began studying them in the 1960s, hunting had reduced populations to perhaps 5,000, 19,000. Today, after hunting regulations, roughly 26,500 polar bears roam the Arctic, a conservation success quietly dropped from the narrative because it complicates the crisis framing. Prince Charles warned in 2009, "We had 96 months left to save the planet." The UN declared in 1989, "We had 3 years to win the climate struggle." These deadlines arrive and pass without catastrophe, just as 1970s Ice Age predictions proved spectacularly wrong. The dominant narrative treats climate change like a cartoon villain. Warming makes everything worse, period. But reality refuses such simplicity. Most changes carry both costs and benefits, and ignoring this complexity leads to terrible policy. Temperature deaths reveal surprising realities. The largest study examining 74 million deaths across 13 countries found cold kills 17 times more people than heat. In the UK, cold claims 33 lives for every heat death. One recent winter killed 43,000 people in England and Wales alone. In India, while heat kills 25,000 annually, moderate cold claims 580,000 lives. Global warming will prevent far more temperature-related deaths than it causes. Satellite studies confirm that over three decades, more than half the world's vegetated area has become greener, while only 4% has browned. Carbon dioxide acts as plant fertilizer, adding leaf area equivalent to two continental United States. Crop yields have soared, helping feed billions. Climate conflict narratives also crumble under scrutiny. Many blamed Syria's civil war on climate-induced drought, ignoring decades of water mismanagement, population pressures, and political repression. Scientific consensus shows no robust link between climate and conflict. Historical studies actually show cold periods correlate with more warfare due to agricultural failures. Weather perceptions have become politicized. Studies reveal Democrats and Republicans in identical locations report vastly different views on whether extreme weather has worsened, despite experiencing the same conditions. Flames engulfing highways, reporters bracing against hurricane winds, flood victims rowing through city streets. These images dominate our screens, and global warming becomes the convenient explanation, regardless of what science actually shows. The UN climate scientists report low confidence in a global-scale observed trend in drought. The US National Climate Assessment states, "Drought has decreased over much of the continental United States in association with long-term increases in precipitation." Flooding tells a similar story. The UN reports low confidence regarding the sign of trend in magnitude and/or frequency of floods on a global scale. What has increased is where we choose to build, the expanding bullseye effect of development in flood-prone areas. Global fire exposure has plummeted since 1870 as societies transitioned from wood to fossil fuels. While U.S. wildfires increased from 3 million acres annually in the 1980s to 7 million in the 2010s, this remains far below the 39 million acres that burned annually in the 1930s. The real change? Homes in high fire risk western zones have grown from 500,000 in 1940 to nearly 7 million today. Most remarkably, climate-related disaster deaths have dropped 96% over the past century, while weather disaster costs as a share of GDP have declined from 0.26% in 1990 to 0.18% today. Nobel Prize-winning economist William Nordhaus pioneered comprehensive models accounting for climate impacts across agriculture, energy, forestry, sea levels, water resources, storms, biodiversity, and diseases. His peer-reviewed research shows unrestrained warming of 7.2°F by 2100 would cost about 2.9% of global GDP. We'll still be vastly richer than today, just slightly less rich than without warming. Agriculture illustrates this perfectly. Climate change will reduce some crop yields, but overall impact reaches just 0.26% of GDP by century's end, reflecting both carbon dioxide's fertilization effect and farmers' adaptation through altered planting times, crop varieties, and growing locations. Even catastrophic scenarios prove manageable. Complete melting of Greenland's ice sheet would take millennia, costing just 0.012% of GDP by century's end. Ocean acidification threatens marine organisms, yet even assuming complete collapse of wild fisheries and coral reef tourism, costs would reach only 0.0075% of global GDP, partly because two-thirds of fish value already comes from aquaculture. The UN's 2018 climate panel estimates an even lower cost of 2.6% of GDP by 2100 if we do nothing. This doesn't mean ignoring climate change. We need policies costing less than the damage they prevent. David Attenborough's pledge to unplug his phone charger saves 7 pounds of CO2 annually, worth less than $2 on carbon markets. This reveals three problems with personal climate action. Cuts are minuscule. The rebound effect cancels 59% of savings as money saved gets spent elsewhere, causing emissions, and moral licensing leads people to reward environmental virtue with carbon-intensive treats. Vegetarianism reduces total emissions by just 4.3%, and with the rebound effect, actual reduction approaches 2%. Electric cars reduce emissions by only 24%, while failing to address accidents and congestion, which constitute 80% of driving's social costs. The projected 130 million electric cars by 2030 would cut merely 0.4% of global emissions. Eliminating air travel completely would reduce temperatures by just 0.05°F by 2100. Despite predictions since 1976 that solar was nearly economic, renewables remain expensive without breakthrough innovations. Governments spend over $140 billion annually subsidizing solar and wind, yet together they provide only about 1% of global energy. The Paris Agreement will cost approximately $2 trillion annually by 2030, while reducing temperatures by just 0.05°F by 2100. New Zealand's carbon neutrality pledge reveals the challenge. Reaching just 50% would cost $19 billion annually, equivalent to its entire education and health budget, yet would reduce global temperatures by just 0.004°F by 2100. After 30 years of failure, five policies offer real solutions. First, a modest carbon tax is most efficient, keeping combined climate damage and policy costs at $108 trillion, the smallest possible price tag. Second, innovation investment offers extraordinary returns. Each dollar spent on green energy R&D could avoid $11 in climate damages, particularly in energy storage, advanced nuclear, and air capture technology. Third, adaptation proves highly cost-effective. Bangladesh's early warning systems dramatically reduce hurricane deaths, while the Netherlands' Room for the River program expands floodplains to reduce flood risk while creating recreational spaces. Fourth, geoengineering research provides valuable backup. Mimicking volcanic cooling could reduce temperatures in weeks, with every research dollar potentially yielding $2,000 in benefits. Finally, prosperity itself is powerful climate policy. Wealthy Netherlands invested $11 billion in flood protection after 1953, suffering just three floods and one fatality since. Meanwhile, flood-prone Bangladesh still endures devastating floods, claiming thousands of lives. The Copenhagen Consensus found investments offering greater returns. Freer trade delivers $2,000 per dollar spent. Preventing childhood malnutrition generates $4,500 per 100 spent. And fighting tuberculosis offers 45-fold returns while building climate resilience. Lifting everyone from extreme poverty would cost under $100 billion yearly, compared to $1 to $2 trillion annually for the ineffective Paris Agreement.